So we began a journey a few weeks ago, a journey through the Gospel of Luke, following Jesus as he makes his way to Jerusalem and the cross. Now there's a few slides that go with this message this morning, so I'll ask Dale just to put up the first one for us. So we've talked about a lot of things, and I'm going to remind us what we talked about, because you know what, I don't know about you, but I forget things if I'm not reminded of them. So it's important to remind ourselves of these important things we've learned, or we're learning, as we travel this journey with Jesus to Jerusalem and to the cross. Jesus would remind us, if anyone of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Taking up our cross means being willing to give up everything and completely surrender to God's plan. It's not about being halfway committed. It's about wholeheartedly accepting the way of discipleship that God asks of us. It's a choice to live out the truth that we have to die to ourselves and now live for Christ. Even if it means facing embarrassment, rejection, exclusion, or persecution. Even if it means that we're laughed at. It means being ready to share in the sufferings of Christ. And it's a decision that we need to make every single day. So, right from the beginning of our journey, we are encouraged to put aside our own desires and dedicate ourselves to Jesus' mission. His mission is very clear: to seek and to save the lost, to bring freedom and release to those who are marginalised and rejected by society. As we've talked about, this mission goes against the values of society, which often prioritise comfort, security, and self-preservation above all else. To those who are not on this journey, this mission of ours may seem foolish and even nonsensical. But for us, following Jesus and his mission is the most fulfilling and purposeful path we can take. It may not always be easy, but it is the path that leads to true life and freedom. A true disciple of Jesus will live like him and eventually become more like him. I like that. A true disciple of Jesus will live like him and eventually become more like him. Judson van Deventer, big name. He was born in 1855. Now, he had a real talent for art, and he became a teacher of art, but he also longed for his work to be recognised, and he longed to become popular and probably even a famous artist. But he also had a great commitment to his faith. And his friends at church urged him, said, "You need to become an evangelist because you've got a special gift and you've got a real passion for it." So this started a real battle within Judson. Should he pursue his art and try to become a famous artist, or should he give it all up and devote himself to ministry, going on the road to preach the gospel? For 5 years, he struggled with this. 5 years. Until one day everything changed. And this is what he wrote. "For some time, I had struggled between developing my talents in the field of art and going into full-time evangelistic work. At last, the pivotal hour of my life came, and I surrendered all. A new day was ushered into my life. I became an evangelist and discovered deep down in my soul a talent hitherto unknown to me. God had hidden a song in my heart, and touching a tender chord, he caused me to sing." Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great testimony, isn't it? And he wrote that very day the song, "I Surrender All." Deventer did go on to become an evangelist. He travelled extensively throughout the US, England and Scotland, sharing the good news with many. It all came about in that moment when he said to God, I'm giving you my all and I'm not holding anything back. When he was older, apparently he was preaching and teaching and encouraging students at the same Bible college that Billy Graham was at. And his influence and his message really had a real impact on Billy Graham's life. And in fact, Billy Graham, he was a great evangelist himself, different part of time, but in a different century. He also used the song "I Surrender All" many times in his evangelistic meetings around the world. So many people were influenced and saved by the grace of God because of this man, Van Deventer, who decided to surrender his life to Jesus. I wonder what riches the world is missing out on because we fail to truly surrender our lives to Jesus, choosing to do our own thing instead. Let's have a look at the words of the song. Dale, if we can do that, that'd be great. The words of the song, I Surrender All. Sometimes we sing the words and we forget to really take them in, but let's have a look at them. All to Jesus I surrender, all to thee I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence daily live. Next verse. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with your love and power, let your blessing fall on me. There's beautiful words in this song. And all come out of a moment in a person's life when they realise that they had to make a choice. Do I do my own thing or do I do what God's calling me to do? I'd like us to stand if we can or sit if that's easier for you, and we'll sing this song together. What a beautiful song, written from a heart that had to make a real surrender. And you can tell that in the words. One of the verses that we didn't sing is, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful song. And for the life of this man who decided to dedicate his all to you in service. Lord, we thank you for Christians all around the world in all the different eras and the ages who have dedicated themselves to you and to your mission. And we pray this morning that we would dedicate ourselves to your mission in this place, where you've placed us, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that those words can represent a change in each of our lives today. So as we've walked through this journey with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke, we have listened to his teaching on the value of prayer, of communicating with our Lord and spending valuable time at his feet, listening and learning, as Mary did. Jesus modelled and taught the importance of prayer and maintaining a close relationship with God. There should be no barriers to our time with God. Spending time with our Lord is the most valuable thing that we can do. Jesus was determined and uncompromising when he cleared the temple of the clutter which was preventing ordinary, everyday people from approaching God. And if you were here last week, you would have seen the picture of the temple that Stuart had on the screen and how that was the place where the Gentiles were meant to come and pray and worship God, but it was all cluttered with all sorts of stuff. So Jesus said, no, I want that out because it's important for people to come and worship me and to pray. And Stuart told us that it's believed that Jesus did that twice because he was so adamant that this is what he should do. So, we need to be very determined, like Jesus, to clear the clutter from our lives so that we can prioritise our time with God. I guess that's part of singing, I surrender all. There's many things that we need to surrender. Some of the things that are concerning us, bothering us, things that just get in the way of our worship and of our time with God. So we need to be determined to clear that from our lives, because this is the only way we can progress on our journey and gain the strength, knowledge and wisdom that we need, because that we get that from being with Jesus and spending time with him in prayer and in his word. As we put our faith and trust in the Lord, remember he promises to provide all that we need. Not what we want, but all that we need, both physical and spiritual. We don't need to be burdened and weighed down by the worries and concerns of this life. And we don't need to be worried about all those things, because we understand that our Father delights in giving us the kingdom. He delights in giving us the things that we need. Hallelujah. Amen. So we've talked a little bit about it previously, but I'm reminding us that Jesus also teaches us to travel light. We talked about putting our burdens down, surrendering our all, because that's the most easy way to travel, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when I go away, I do not like packing. And I always remember what my mum said to me, my mum who's now passed on, but she's always in my ear. I can still hear her voice, "Glenda, don't forget to pack something if it gets cold." Because coming from Melbourne, living in Melbourne, where the weather is four seasons in one day, it can go from 40 degrees to 10 in the space of 10 minutes. So that was always a wise thing to do. So I tend to overpack. So here I've got this great big suitcase, and, you know, I'm not very big or very strong, so it's hard for me to carry it. So I think I've learnt as years have gone on that it's a not good idea to travel light. And on my recent trip to Cairns, you know, when I had the injury to my chest and I thought, no, all I could take was a little bag, and I got some stuff at Tim's, but that's good. But it was so much easier to travel with just that tiny little case. So that's what Jesus tells us to do. He wants us to travel light by putting our trust in God to provide for us instead of worrying about all of the things that we might need or might want. He warns us about being greedy, and instead he encourages us to be generous and focus on storing up treasures in heaven. What we care about the most shows where our heart is, and we will give our effort and energy to that cause. So if Jesus is here and we're surrendered to him, then we're going to give our effort and energy to him. Jesus reminds us that the things that are considered of great value by the people of this world are worth nothing in God's sight. Jesus encourages us to live carefree, focusing on spiritual wealth and kindness towards others. He reminds us to be humble, not seeking praise or importance, but remember that we are servants, following the servant king. We're on a mission to share God's love with everyone, especially those who are not treated well by society. We are to follow his example of welcoming everyone, even those who are not liked by others, showing love and acceptance to all. So I'm all in for this travelling light thing. Are you all in for travelling light? Yeah, laying down our burdens and being generous in what we give. What God gives us, we can give away. We're not going to miss out. I know that I've found that to be true in my life. The more you give, the more that God blesses you. So this morning, what did I have on the screen for this one? I can't remember what I put up there, Dale. There you go. I like this picture because it was a picture, you might not be able to see it as well, but it's someone carrying a heavy load and the hand of God coming down and saying, here, give it to me. It's a good picture for us. I knew I had something in there. All right. This is a great time for when we're talking about generosity, thinking about our offering, taking our offering. So now we have another picture which will go up on the screen. Now, what do you think this picture represents? Yeah, there's an old sheep there, an old shepherd too. So, Jesus tells us that we are to travel this journey with purpose. The wonderful news of God's upside-down countercultural kingdom is to be preached because it has the power to transform lives. Seeking and saving the lost is a priority, number one priority on our journey. In Luke, Jesus tells three stories about lost things. Can you remember them? The lost sheep, what's the lost coin, and the one we had earlier, we watched earlier, the lost son, or the prodigal son. These stories highlight the value God places on each individual. God relentlessly pursues those who are lost, showing unconditional love and forgiveness. In the story of the lost son, the father welcomes his son back with open arms, despite his rebellious and wasteful behaviour. This is a true picture of our Father God, always ready to forgive and restore those who turn back to him. God's love, God's mercy, and a desire for a relationship with every individual, regardless of their past mistakes or current circumstances, is what these stories are all about and what these stories teach us about the heart of God. Do you know that God cares about you as though you were the only one in the world? God cares about you as though you were the only one in the world. And if you are not familiar with the story of the lost sheep, but I know these are my favourite stories in the Bible. I love stories. It's probably why I like being in school, working with kids. But I love stories. And these stories teach me a lot about God. The lost sheep, the relentless search for just one little sheep. You know? Why are we looking for one? Oh, I've got all the others. No. One little sheep that was lost. The lady who's looking for a coin. I don't know about you, but I don't like losing things. I get frantic. Here she is looking for one coin. She might have thought, oh, what's the use? It's like I'm thinking of the cent, you know, the old cent, 1 cent we had, 2 cents. Going around looking for that. But here she was looking for it because it's important. We're important. And that's what God was showing to us. I believe that these stories show the true heart of the God that we serve. And that's why I love God so much, because these stories show his true heart. He's a God we can absolutely, without doubt, trust. We can trust him with our lives. When we surrender to him, I can trust him because I know how much he loves me. How can we not follow this path when we are loved so completely and unconditionally? I just wish that the world would understand that. Sometimes I wish that all the people out there could just know that. And I pray, Lord, that they could just know how much you love them so completely and unconditionally. In a world where people are searching for love in so many wrong places, partners, all sorts of places they're looking for love, work, putting their efforts into all sorts of things, looking for the unconditional, complete love. But we only find it in God, in Jesus. And we thank him for that. And we thank him that he can put that love in us, because that's what people need to know. We're not perfect, but we can still have that love in us, which then reaches out and shows others that love. Amazing grace. Great song. Great truth. Let's take a minute to sing that song together this morning. the stories of the lost things, Jesus told those stories in response to the grumbling of the Pharisees and religion scholars who were not pleased, not at all pleased, that Jesus was welcoming questionable people, that he was eating with sinners and he was treating them like old friends. They were offended that Jesus would associate with such people, let alone treat them like old friends. Their reaction shows a lack of understanding and compassion, as they were more focused on judgment and exclusion rather than reaching out with love and acceptance. You know, it's important that as a church, we continue to look within at ourselves and what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I think that Jesus, as all these Pharisees and people of the law were saying, you know, what are you talking about? They were laughing at him, some of them. They were doing all sorts of things to get under his skin. But he just forged on and kept on with his mission. He was just wanting to show them that what they were thinking and what all the things that they believed, all the things they'd learned for all those years, there was going to be a new way. There was a new understanding that they had to get and they just weren't getting it. And sometimes as a church, we need to look at ourselves and say, yes, what are we doing for this great mission? There's some questions on the screen, there's going to be on the screen for you to look at. But while we're doing that, you know, sometimes we need to look deep into ourselves and see the little things that we don't always see. So as a church council leadership group, we're going to be looking, asking these questions, answering them, I hope, on Wednesday night when we meet this week. So are we, as a church, actively going after the lost? Are we seeing people saved and reconciled to God? How effective are we in our mission? Do we value everyone? Do we see ourselves as an important part of the mission? There are questions that we need to think about, questions that we need to look at. Because God wants us, Jesus is telling these people that I've got this great message and you're not listening. You're too busy wrapped up in all the things that you think are right and all the things, all the laws, and you're not seeing. So as a church, I believe that God's saying to us, yeah, let's ask ourselves some questions as we go on this journey of reaching out to our community, of touching others with the love of Jesus. We need to make sure we're doing it right. I'd welcome any comments from you as well. And I think I'm going to put these questions in a newsletter and thank Harry for the newsletter that's back this week. We can be blessed by just looking and answering these questions. So, this morning, I put in the church four of these things. Has anybody seen where they are? You're looking straight at them. Yep. Okay, that's good. Got people that are paying attention. Can you see where they are? Yeah, there's two over here and there's two over there. Why did I do that? Because sometimes we can't see what's right in front of us. Sometimes we miss the things, and that's what I'm wanting us to do as a church, to look deeper into the way we do things, why we do it, and how we do it. Because I think that's important. And that's what Jesus wants for us. And that's what part of our journey is. Not being complacent, not just sitting back, but making sure that we are really working for him and really on that mission. It's easy to get comfortable, isn't it? We can get comfortable. But the question there, someone asked this question to me a number of months ago. When was the last time you saw someone saved? When was the last time that you saw someone give their life to God? It's a good question, isn't it? We want to pray for more and more of the people to come to know that wonderful love that God has for them, that he's shown to each and every one of us. I'd like to read to you now from the scripture. From Luke chapter 18. And the title is, A Rich Man Refuses to Follow Jesus. A religious leader asked Jesus, Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? Only God is good. And you know his commands. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder anyone. You must not steal. You must not tell lies about others. You must respect your father and mother. But the leader said, I have obeyed all these commands since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said to the leader, But there is still one thing you need to do. Sell everything you have and give the money to the poor. You will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the man heard Jesus tell him to give away his money, he was sad. He didn't want to do this because he was very rich. And we just want to flip over to Luke 19, verse 1. Now everyone says this name differently. Zacchaeus. When I was a kid, it was Zacchaeus. So let's go with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very little man. Remember that song? Do you remember singing that song? Yeah, well, Jesus and Zacchaeus. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus had to pass through Jericho. There lived a very wealthy man named Zacchaeus, who supervised all the tax collectors. He was very eager to see Jesus and kept trying to look at him through the massive crowd. Since Zacchaeus was a short man and couldn't see over the heads of the people, he ran on ahead of everyone and climbed up a blossoming fig tree to get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. When Jesus got to that place, he looked up into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry on down, for I must stay at your house today. So he scurried down the tree and found himself face to face with Jesus. Wow, face to face with Jesus. As Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus, many in the crowd complained, Look at this, of all the people to have dinner with, he's going to eat in the house of a crook. Zacchaeus was amazed over his gracious visit to his home and joyously welcomed Jesus. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, Half of all that I own I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay them back four times as much as I stole. Jesus said to him, Your repentance shows that today life has come to you and your household, and that you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek out and to give life to those who are lost. Amen. There's great stories in Luke. I hope you're reading Luke and enjoying it. So, what have I got on the screen this time, Dale? Ah, yes. Yes, but there's two paths there, aren't there? And this story is about two people that made two different decisions. One just couldn't give up what he had. To follow Jesus, and the other was glad to be forgiven and to get that burden off his back and say, yes, I've got another chance. Jesus and his mission challenged many people and their thoughts and what they thought and what they believed, and he was often misunderstood. Jesus faced ridicule and rejection, and he was considered foolish by many. Yet his teaching and actions brought about profound transformations in people's lives. The rich man, despite his good deeds and adherence to the law, couldn't bring himself to give up his wealth to follow Jesus. His love for his possessions overshadowed his desire for eternal life. On the other hand, Zacchaeus, though considered a sinner and outcast, experienced a remarkable change of heart upon encountering Jesus. he was willing to give up half of his possessions and make amends for his wrongdoings, showing that no one is beyond the reach of God's transformative power.
Hallelujah.
Amen. As followers of Jesus, we too may face opposition and ridicule for our beliefs. The world may view us as foolish or misguided. However, we have the opportunity to witness incredible transformation in people's lives as they encounter the love and truth of Jesus. It's a mission that requires courage, perseverance, and unwavering faith. So, in a society that no longer values Christian commitment and surrender, or carrying our cross, we can find encouragement and guidance in Jesus, in his teachings and his example. Jesus often faced opposition, yet he continued to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. He remained steadfast in his mission to reach out to those who were excluded and undervalued, to seek out and to save the lost. And as you read through Luke, you will see Jesus stopping, healing, helping, teaching, challenging, doing all those things. He showed courage and perseverance in his mission. As a church, we can focus on the core message of the gospel, knowing that it has the power to transform lives, regardless of the attitudes of our culture. We need to persevere in sharing the good news despite outside pressures and influences. We need to persevere despite rejection and opposition. Jesus reached out in practical ways, meeting the needs of people where they were at. That is our big challenge as a church going forward, one we must take seriously, a challenge we absolutely must commit to with persistent prayer, remembering that Jesus encouraged us to keep asking, seeking, and knocking, assuring us that God will answer our prayers. As we seek God in prayer, our faith will be strengthened and our resolve will be strengthened. Our resolve to keep on sharing the gospel message, to keep on reaching out to the lost, to keep on telling everyone that God loves them. Despite everything, God still loves them. We need to strengthen our faith and our resolve to face all the challenges that we have in our modern day of sharing the gospel. And we cannot become discouraged, but like Jesus, we must forge on confidently, forge our way forward. And we can trust, as Jesus did, that God is at work in all circumstances, even a cross. God is at work in all circumstances, even when it seems that our efforts are not bearing fruit and the way forward is difficult and marked by many obstacles. We need to believe that God is at work. Yes, as a church, we can be distracted by so many things. But our mission is about following Jesus and being committed to his mission. And I pray that that's something that we can take away from what we've been talking about in these last few weeks and in the coming weeks. Being committed to our mission as individuals and as a church. It's all about Jesus. There's a beautiful song that was written, Heart of Worship. We're coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. And that's what I pray is our prayer for ourselves and for our church this morning, that we would be wholeheartedly surrendered and on this journey of reaching out to the lost. You can sit and listen to this song if you like, just pray quietly, or you can join in with singing it. The heart of worship.